Have you ever thought about this? I've got another topic for you. The lake of fire is here, now, and growing. There have been doctrines that speak of the world being destroyed by fire. This understanding is based on the idea that fire always means literal fire in the scriptures. True, fire in the scriptures is sometimes literal, but there are some scriptures that just cannot be taken literally. For example, James 3:6, the tongue is a fire. No one's tongue is a literal fire. Another example is Mark 9:49, for everyone shall be salted with fire. Now how are we going to be salted with natural fire? There are keys of knowledge, as we read in Luke 11:52, that will unlock the symbolic meaning of fire in the scriptures. One key is Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. Now God is a spirit, as we read in John 4:24. He's not a literal fire, so fire can't be literal in this verse. It has to be symbolic of God. God's a spirit being. God is good, as we read in Matthew 19:17. So fire is good. Another key verse in Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord?" So God is a fire, and his word is fire, symbolically. This is because God is made up of his word. As we read in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God is fire, and fire is word, so God is made up of his word. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, Jeremiah speaking, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah, as a prophet of God, was being tormented because people in general were not desiring to hear God's words being spoken through him, so he just thought, "I'll shut my mouth." But God's word was as a burning fire shut up in his bones. Now, Jeremiah didn't mean there was a literal fire in his bones. He meant the word of God was burning in his heart and he could not contain it. How is God's word like fire? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Paul is saying, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." He's speaking of the foundation that we grow within our minds, by the way. He says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Notice that fire is a good thing here because it saves a person by burning up the corruption. To keep the consistency that we've seen so far, God's word is the fire. So it's God's word that saves us. It's the same thing that James said in James 1:21, where he said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The foundation that Paul was speaking of is the beginning gospel words of Jesus Christ that Paul had put within the Corinthians' minds. He warned them to take heed how they build on that foundation. You could build on it gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble represent works in our mind that will not abide the fire. They will burn up. But gold, silver, and precious stones don't get burned up by fire. They only become purified, refined. Paul said that they were enemies in their mind by wicked works in Colossians 1:21. In Galatians 5:19 through 23, we see the works of the flesh, evil works such as hatred and wrath, strife, heresies, envying. And that's contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace. If we have any evil works in our mind, God's word will burn them up with his fire. The fire or God's word will reveal or show up any untruths or evil spirit for what it is. If we have some truth or spirit of God, his fire will only refine that. Peter wrote of the trial by fire. In 1 Peter 4:12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." He also said in 1 Peter 1:7, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire." The trial of our faith is when we start getting God's word within our minds, and then evil, such as doubt or fear, maybe misunderstanding, fights against it. This creates a fiery trial. The same idea is shown in type in the third chapter of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that everyone in his kingdom should bow down and worship an image of a god that he had set up. If they didn't, they'd be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. The Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to worship the king's image and his gods, so they were cast into the furnace. The furnace was so hot that the men that took them up to the furnace were slain by the flame. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unharmed in the furnace. What a great story. It happened in the natural, but what does it picture for us? God is likened to a furnace that tries men's hearts or minds, just as a natural furnace would purify gold. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." The picture for us is that if we go through the fiery trial of our faith to get God's word and hang on to it, when evil comes up to try to make us worship a false god or some image, then we will not be hurt. We will be refined or purified. God's word doesn't hurt the person that's choosing him. It will consume all evil and also anyone who is choosing evil. If we choose to worship false gods and force that falsehood onto others, like the ones that threw the three Jews into the fiery furnace, we will be burned up because of our choice. So we have seen in the scriptures thus far that fire is symbolic of God's word. Does that key, fire equals word, remain consistent throughout the Bible? Yes. Let's make a qualification here. Someone can accept God's word, but then pervert it, as we read in Romans 1:25, which says, regarding these people, that they changed the truth of God into a lie. Galatians 1:6-7 speaks of the gospel and the gospel perverted. So fire sometimes pictures God's word perverted, as is the case of strange fire that was offered by Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. Read in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." The priests had a commandment to take coals from the brazen altar in the court of the tabernacle, and to put those in a censer, and to carry them into the holy place and offer incense upon the golden altar. The two sons got the fire from somewhere else, other than the brazen altar, so it was called strange fire. They tried to offer this strange fire, and they died physically in a fire sent by the Lord. This is a picture to us that if we try to offer, which would mean to preach or teach God's word with perversion, we will die spiritually. The fire or truth of God will destroy all evil. There are many, many, many more types of how fire is symbolic of God's truth. But let's take this background and go directly to the lake of fire. There are five scriptures mentioned in the book of Revelation. The first one, Revelation 19:20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." The beast is symbolic of false preachers and teachers that reject God, whether they're in religion or not. The false prophet represents all the false doctrines of the world. The lake of fire is God's word. False teachers and preachers are cast into the lake of fire when they come face to face with God's truth. If they accept the truth, they can live, and the perversion in their mind is consumed or cast out by God's truth. If they reject God's truth, they're sinning willfully. The wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. When all evil is cast out of preachers and teachers, or else they choose to reject the truth or the fire and are spiritually dead, which means that the devil and his angels take their lives, then God can go after the devil and his angels and clean up the rest of the world. Revelation 20 verse 10 says, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Well, God is telling us that the devil is going to go out of existence, not just Lucifer himself, but all that he has perverted in the angels and mankind. This work is accomplished by not allowing the devil or any of his evil workers to pervert the truth of God in our minds. Jesus did not let Satan or any of his evil workers pervert the truth of God in his mind. If we follow Jesus' example, the devil is tormented until his life and the life of his evil workers is spent, and he goes out of existence. The same understanding applies in Matthew 25:41, when Jesus speaks of everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The everlasting fire is God's eternal word. It is prepared in the mind of those that know and keep the truth. When we keep the truth of God unperverted, we get eternal life and the devil gets eternal death. He goes out of existence. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell are conditions of people. It's the condition that they're in before they meet God's truth. Death is the first death in this particular verse. When they are presented with God's truth, they're cast into the lake of fire. Then they have a choice, either to accept the deeper truth and become part of the lake of fire, or else reject God's truth and be consumed by the lake of fire. If they choose to reject the deeper truth, then they die the second death. That is eternal death to the soul. The soul will go out of existence when the body dies. Our first life is when we're born into the world clean and holy. Our first death is when we become dead in trespasses and sins in our mind. We're still walking around alive physically when this happens. We start to resurrect, which would be our second life, when we hear some gospel words of life that cause us to pass from death into life. Again, that is our second life. But depending on our choices to continue to move on with God's voice or not, we could resurrect to life or to damnation. If we overcome sin and move on every time God presents us with a new truth, then we will not be hurt of the second death that's mentioned in Revelation 2:11. But if we stop moving on with God's voice, then we will be hurt of the second death, mentioned in Jude 12. That is to say, the fire, or God's word that could have saved us, will kill us instead because we chose to reject it, and it's God's word that would give us life. Revelation 20:15 says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The book of fire is God's mind. If someone is not written in the book of life, it means they haven't mixed their faith with the truths of God. Then their rejection of the truth causes God to turn away, and that leaves that soul with the death that they have chosen. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." These people have chosen evil, so they won't become part of the lake of truth, but instead they get consumed by it and they die in their sins. The second death that hurts us is an eternal death to the soul. The soul can go out of existence, have no more life. Since God's ministers are flames of fire, as we read in Hebrews 1:7, if we choose God, we each become one of His ministers of truth, and the lake of fire gets bigger. Eventually, everyone will either become part of God's lake of fire by getting His word within their mind, or else die by choosing evil. When evil is eliminated from God's creation because those remaining have chose to become a part of God's lake of fire through the knowledge, then the scripture, Isaiah 11:10, can be fulfilled. It says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now the earth is not just the globe, it's the minds of people who have accepted the truth. They have become part of the lake of fire. The lake of fire is good because it does away with evil and promotes life.